You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, already in progress. Final hour on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We somehow made it to work, battling through a nor'easter. Weather seems like it's nice in Tampa, but we're not there as we normally are. Super Bowl week. We're here at the home office. Coming up, we'll talk to Kyler Murray from the Arizona Cardinals. And hopefully this interview goes better than the last time we sat down. That was on the set in Atlanta at the Super Bowl. Phone calls are always welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. McLovin, update the poll results so far.
Who won the Rams-Lions trade? Still 59% say the Detroit Lions.
Okay, and I don't like saying who won because I don't know what the Lions are going to do with these picks. I don't know how Jared Goff's going to play in Detroit. I like what the Rams did with Matthew Stafford. They're all in. They want to win. The Super Bowl odds, the new ones for next year, already upgraded. And they are the third favorite to win the Super Bowl behind the Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers. I don't think this sets the market for Deshaun Watson. I don't think this resets the market for Deshaun Watson. I think this is completely different. Deshaun Watson, if he is traded, this isn't a salary dump where will you take our quarterback and his contract with two more years guaranteed, and then we'll throw in some draft picks. That's not the way it's going to be. I think the market for Deshaun Watson's already been set. I don't think Matthew Stafford being traded had anything to do with this. I do know that the 49ers were all in to get Matthew Stafford, but not to the degree that the Rams were. And I don't, from what I'm told this morning, the Colts were not as all in as the other teams were. I think Carolina offering the 8th pick overall, Washington football team offering up their first round pick. That's what some of these teams, their approach was different. Now, if I'm the Rams, I'm going to get Jared Goff off my books, and then I get an upgrade with Matthew Stafford. Carolina was just saying, we'll give you the 8th pick overall. Come on in. I don't think there was, you got to take Teddy Bridgewater. And Washington's football team, they had no draft capital at the quarterbacking position to give Detroit. And Detroit and their new head coach, Dan Campbell, wanted to have a quarterback, not just a developing quarterback. Now, this is what I was told this morning. The Lions have the 7th pick overall, and I was told don't rule out them at least exploring taking a quarterback if a quarterback they like falls in their lap. Whatever that means. The Dunder Mifflin family has a new home. The Office is streaming exclusively on PeacockTV.com, and you can stream now. Gary Klein covers the Rams. He's the beat writer for the LA Times. Good to have Gary back. Gary, your first reaction when you first heard that Matthew Stafford was coming and Jared Goff was going?
Well, Dan, I was a little surprised only because given the way that Les Snead and Sean McVay have operated, I really thought they were going to swing for the fences and go for Deshaun Watson and really change the paradigm of things. But when it became Stafford, that seems like, you know, a fit for Sean McVay, for what he's talked about he wants to do with his offense. All the signs were there that they were going to move on from Jared Goff, so that was no surprise. But the fact that they did it so quickly did surprise me.
At what point do you think maybe Jared Goff and Sean McVay were going in different directions, and that Sean decided that he needed a new quarterback?
You know, Dan, the earliest indication for us, you know, out here covering them every day was after that Miami game, there was some frustration. And I don't know if it was because Jared Goff wasn't getting the ball out quick enough or because Brian Flores was out coaching Sean McVay in kind of a repeat of the Super Bowl. But once we got later in the season to the San Francisco 49ers loss, where Goff had several turnovers, McVay broke from practice. He is always the guy falling on the sword for his players. It's my fault. I didn't put him in the right. But after that game, he said, our quarterback's got to take better care of the football. Yeah. And that, as much of anything else, signaled that things were not going well. And after the loss to the Jets, obviously got to the end of the season with the broken thumb. And when McVay essentially benched Goff for the playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks, it was obvious there were some issues that probably couldn't be repaired.
NFL.com's Michael Silver published a column yesterday, and it was full of information about Goff's perspective. In the story, Silver pointed out that Troy Aikman routinely trashed Goff when he and Joe Buck were assigned to call Rams games. He gave a couple of instances here where, you know, Troy criticized him on an interception. He also, pregame of the Super Bowl, said, you know, Bill Belichick wants the game in Jared Goff's hands. Was there any manipulation going on behind the scenes, do you think, with Sean McVay sort of getting a message out through another channel?
Well, I have to be honest, Dan, you've been in those kinds of production meetings, so I think you probably have more intimate knowledge of what coaches are willing to disclose. So I can't say that I ever got a hint that, Sean McVay was trying to undermine his quarterback. I think at least publicly and what we see every day is, you know, the people that cover them on a beat, there weren't hints of that. There was nothing outward like Jared Goff isn't a hard worker. He's not putting in the time. That's why I think that statement from McVay after the San Francisco loss to come out publicly and say that was so compelling for people who watch him every day.
Are the Rams closer to a Super Bowl today than they were last Friday?
Well, I think Matt Stafford, obviously, with his resume in terms of his arm strength and his stats, I think there's some excitement that perhaps he could put them over the hump. But, you know, Dan, they have a lot more issues than quarterback. They don't have a deep threat receiver. Their running game looks like it could be coming on with Cam Akers, but that's no guarantee. And frankly, the Rams' success this season was built on their defense. And that defense, with Brandon Staley becoming the coach of the Chargers, several assistants leaving, they're probably going to lose some key free agents. There's no guarantee that Raheem Morris is going to be able to come in and maintain that defense at the level it was at. So I think the Rams have a lot of issues. This creates excitement for them. They're hosting the Super Bowl, you know, next season, so it sets them up for a possible run there. But really, I think the bar now for Matt Stafford is, and Sean McVay really, is you've got to win the Super Bowl because Jared Goff got you there and you couldn't do it. Now you've dumped his contract. You've given away more first-round draft picks, and you got to win the whole thing.
Gary, good to visit with you, and I'm glad you got something to write about here for the next couple of days. Thank you, bud.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, that's Gary Klein. He covers the Rams for the LA Times. Yeah, you start to think about it. You know, these legacies are built on winning, but that margin is so small with winning and losing. And Brady's been fortunate where he's got some wins that are really, really close. You know, Vinatieri kicking game-winning field goals. The tuck game with the Raiders, and they got the favorable ruling, and then Vinatieri kicks a field goal there. You go back to Jimmy Garoppolo is one completion away from winning the Super Bowl, right? One completion away, and he's going to win the Super Bowl. And then you have Jared Goff. If Brandon Cooks holds on to the ball in the end zone, do we have a different scenario here? Can you move on from a quarterback who won the Super Bowl for you? Now, you might look at Jared Goff and say the numbers aren't, you know, we need something that's more impressive, like some of these other quarterbacks out there, or Jimmy Garoppolo with the same way. But if they had won Super Bowls, would those teams have moved on or be willing to talk about moving on? And they probably wouldn't be, because we would look at Jimmy Garoppolo differently if he had a Super Bowl. And if Jared Goff had beaten Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the Patriots? Yeah, McLovin.
What if Carson Wentz hadn't gotten hurt and won the MVP? I'm not saying he would have won the Super Bowl, but
yeah,
he was on trajectory.
Yeah, yeah, Paul.
In that Patriots-Rams Super Bowl a couple years ago, they held Brady to 262 yards, zero touchdowns, and a pick. They had them. I mean, if they score two touchdowns, they win.
Well, I think Sean McVay has admitted that he got outcoached, where, you know, you think you're preparing for Belichick, you're ready for Belichick, but you're not truly ready for Belichick. And you can sometimes overcoach and overthink things, and I think Sean has been transparent about that, but would we have a different feeling about Jared Goff winning a Super Bowl? And we probably would. Like Nick Foles winning a Super Bowl, we have a different thought on him. I think he's the same quarterback. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. I don't think he's a starting quarterback. But when what he did, how he did it, when he did it, he'll always have that. We'll look at him differently. 15 years down the road, we might be looking at Nick Foles differently than we do Jared Goff or Carson Wentz or Jimmy Garoppolo, and they might have a longer career and maybe a little bit more successful career, but he won a Super Bowl. He beat Belichick and Brady in one of the great postseason runs or performances Super Bowl history. But it's weird how you get that coronation and we go, yep, Super Bowl winning quarterback. There's just something about it that unless you're Trent Dilfer, we attach even more value. Joe Flacco became a more respected quarterback because he won a Super Bowl. Because if he didn't, it would have been, oh, he was the quarterback on that team that had a great defense. Eli Manning winning those Super Bowls, if he doesn't win them, then we look at him differently. He won two games, two big games. He beat Brady and Belichick and the Patriots. Because of that, we look at him differently than we do Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is a better quarterback, in my opinion. But Eli won the games that you need to win. And if Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo had won Super Bowls, we would look at them differently. We might even look at Patrick Mahomes differently if he did not win that Super Bowl. He did not play well. Third and 15, and the Niners lost track of Tyreek Hill. That's the difference. Bosa almost sacks him. You complete that, and then you go down the other end. Garoppolo, they don't get a first down, and Chiefs win. Yeah, McLovin.
On the opposite side, is Matthew Stafford just a big stats guy? Like, he hasn't won at all.
Well, we're going to find out.
Do you have a hunch one way or the other?
I don't know how he is when, like, it always feels like when you go, boy, he's had all of these comebacks. Well, the team hasn't been good. He was always behind. And it feels like you can pile up numbers that way. The defense is allowing you to. I want to see what it's like for him to manage a game. Not that he can't, but now you manage a game. And you don't have to go, we're down three scores. Let's just put it up. Now it might be run the football, be a little more conservative at times. Being able to build up a lead as opposed to trying to come back from, the other team's lead. So, is he capable? Sure. I mean, he's extremely talented. But sometimes when you played, like Matthew Stafford was always a highlight. Like you really, the only time we watched the Lions was Thanksgiving. And even then you're not paying full attention to them. Be a noon start and you go, oh, the Lions are on. Yeah, big deal. And then you'd see a highlight maybe from the Lions on the highlight shows that night. And that'd be it. Because you don't settle in and go, I'm going to sit and watch the Lions play. Yeah, Paul.
There's certain stats you don't want to be tagged with. Like Phillip Rivers, I think, will have the most yards for a quarterback who's never appeared in the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford is going to be that guy. Yeah, he had 60,000 yards and didn't win a playoff game. That you don't want that.
No.
That's a biggie.
No. Well, the fact that Matthew, 16 quarterbacks, what was that stat, have thrown for 45,000 yards regular season, but Matthew Stafford's the only one who's never won a playoff game? Yeah, you don't want that. Phil in Indiana. Hey, Phil, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, it's always a pleasure to be with you. My worst of the weekend, Dan, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it, is it seems to be a trend here of, over the last few months, it's even growing in all sports where players just get disgruntled and say, yeah, I'm good, I want out, after they've signed long-term contracts. And when did it become, Dan, this kind of growth where players have this much power to where they have say in personnel, they tell management when they want out? I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Dan, because it's a bad trend, I think.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Yes, yeah, Seton.
Well, Jared Goff just signed an extension. And he got shipped right out of town. So, I mean, it's not really just the players that all of a sudden have all this power. They might be using it a little bit more, but
we've seen this with the NBA. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when he was Lou Alcindor, wanted out of Milwaukee. Charles Barkley wanted to be traded. He wanted to try to win a championship in Houston. We've seen this before where guys will... Kobe was pressuring the Lakers to get out, maybe go to Chicago. It's if... What are you willing to risk? Because that's what it comes down to. Like Deshaun Watson, what are you willing to risk? You going to sit out the season? And if he is, then he's going to have the leverage there. But he's got a no-trade clause, and how many teams are going to be able to afford what it's going to take to get Deshaun Watson? Probably a handful. I think there are teams like the Rams, the 49ers, the Jets, there'll be teams that go, let's just see what it's going to cost. Because you don't want to go, you know, gosh, did you see what they got him for? We should have offered whatever. And I think that's what happened. The Rams toyed with the idea. The Niners are toying with the idea with Deshaun Watson. I'm sure the Colts are. I'm sure the Jets are. The Bears are. Yeah, McLovin.
How can a team that doesn't have a top 10 pick even get in the conversation? Like the Colts are 21 now or something, and they're going to be good for years to come. What can they give up to get Watson?
Well, you mean Watson.
To get Watson, yeah. Like they don't have anything to give up.
Well, I think whether this is true or not, that you got to give up two number ones and you have to give up two young starters. Now, I don't know if that's on offense or defense, but I think you have to give up two number ones for Deshaun Watson and probably two players who are going to come in and start right away. Not draft picks. So when people say, oh, you're going to be, it's four first-round draft picks. From what I was told, two first-round draft picks, and then you probably have to give up a couple of starters there. Like they, maybe they don't have confidence in drafting, but maybe they want something that they know that's tangible. We can put that person in, those people in at certain positions, and maybe that's what it takes to get to Deshaun Watson. Yeah, Paul?
Watson's in a tough position because the team he's on now does not have a ton of talent. They ship some out. They don't have draft picks. The team that acquires him will be in the same boat. They'll have to give up talent and give up draft picks, you would think.
Well, how much are you giving up now? Because if a team is getting Deshaun Watson, are you getting him to win now? Or do you realize that it might take 2 years, something like that? Because the Jets aren't ready to win now. The Bears could be. I mean, they're a playoff-ish team. San Francisco is certainly ready. The Rams were certainly ready. And there will be a mystery team in here. You know, Carolina, I know Carolina was interested in Stafford. They'll be interested in Deshaun Watson. I feel bad for my guy, Teddy Bridgewater. He's probably going to pay the price in Carolina. Now, he got paid, but he's going to pay the price. And he's got one more year, and he's at least healthy. But Carolina probably going to bring in a quarterback. Yeah, Paulie.
At least Bridgewater got that contract after the injury.
I know.
You know, I think he's got $20 million coming no matter what next year.
He had it written all over his name. He was the bridge quarterback. I mean, you know, he should have seen it coming. Teddy Bridgewater, you're the bridge quarterback. Yeah. All right, let me take a break. More phone calls coming up, and Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is set to join us. I'm a good sport about it. I said I would be open-minded to having him on. Do you think that he forgets what happened 2 years ago in Atlanta at the Super Bowl? Am I going to have to remind him? It was a big deal to us. Maybe it wasn't a big deal to Kyler, but I'm a fan of his. It was just one of those where we sat down and I had to tell him. I said, you know, we're live on TV and radio. And I had a studio audience there. And the studio audience is, you know, it's almost like the late comedian Andy Kaufman. Like it would have been a skit where, hey, let's just go out and we're going to have fun and I'm not going to say anything. And then that's where I was like, you know, we're live. Yes, Todd.
I think he not only does he remember, but he wants to make it up to you. And I think that's how that's going to go.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a very nice interview.
All right. Well, thank you, Todd.
I'm very optimistic.
Well, this will keep you in your car. Coming up, a very nice interview with Kyler Murray right after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes is back. What would you do with $50,000? You can find out every time that there is a scoring change. Touchdowns, field goals, extra points. Every scoring play pays. Rocket Mortgage hosting the largest official game of Super Bowl Squares ever. Millions of dollars in prizes. Enter for free. Chance to win $50,000 every score change. And Rocket Mortgage will be announcing winners live on their channels during the game. Follow along February 7th to see if you're a winner. And it's free to enter, easy to play. See rules and enter now at RocketMortgageSquares.com. RocketMortgageSquares.com. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. states and D.C. who are the age of majority ends February 4th of 2021 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. RocketMortgageSquares.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Super Bowl odds have been updated after the Rams deal with the Lions. Kansas City Chiefs are the favorites next year, followed by the Packers, then the Rams. Buccaneers, Ravens, Buffalo Bills, San Francisco 49ers, New Orleans Saints, Seattle Seahawks, and Cleveland Browns. I think another reason why the Rams went all in is you factor in Brady's 43, Aaron Rodgers 37, and we don't know if Drew Brees is going to be playing in New Orleans again. Rams are all in, trying to win a Super Bowl. He plays in the same division with the Rams. He's the Cardinals quarterback, the Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray on the program. Kyler, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing spectacular. We're off to a good start here. So it was,
yes, sir.
It was 2 years ago today. Let's knock this out. When you came on the set and you hadn't decided baseball or football, at least publicly. So
yeah.
What happened in that moment where we couldn't communicate with each other?
I mean, you just kept asking me the question. I was, wasn't prepared to give an answer. I don't know if I even had an answer at that time, but it was fun in my eyes. I mean, everybody.
It wasn't fun in my eyes. Well, I wanted to help you. I was trying to help you because I knew what the reaction was going to be. And I just didn't want it to come back teams were going to go, well, did you see what happened on the Dan Patrick Show? Or I thought there was going to be negative feedback for you.
Yeah, no, I think there was that. I want to say the Cardinals asked about the the interview.
We had teams that asked for a copy of that, Kyler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they wanted to know what happened. Like they didn't know how you were under pressure. They didn't know if you know how teams overreact when it comes to the draft.
Yeah. I think the whole world did. Like, I mean, if you don't know what sport you're about to play, and somebody keeps asking you on live radio, like,
did
why?
You know at that time what you were going to do? Because I was told what you were going to do.
Oh,
I was told if you got a top 10 grade. That you were going to be go football, and you got that top 10 grade that you knew you were going to be a top 10 pick.
Honestly, Dan, I don't think I ever even knew my grade. Like, I don't remember getting a grade.
But what was the point or that day where you go, this is what I'm going to do, and what was it that brought you to that point?
Man, it was that was the hardest decision I've ever had to make. It honestly took me a long time to figure out what I was going to do, just because making that, I remember getting the phone call. Actually, my boys had told me when I got drafted, we were leaving a regional at OU. We had just lost to Florida State, and I got the news that I got drafted by the A's, and I had told them before I got on the plane, if they draft me, like I'm coming to play. So just give him that commitment, give him my word that I was going to come play if, they let me play another season of football. And then coming back and having, this decision, it was hard for me to kind of tell them I'm not coming to play for him after I already, told them that I was going to.
No, I respect that you wanted to be a man of your word. I also found it interesting. I love these draft profiles, and there was a draft profile of you that talked about lack of arm strength.
Yeah.
And I went, when you threw the ball with us in Atlanta, I said, look, whoever is writing this has not seen that up close and personal, because that ball was whizzing. You had a great arm, but I think they won. And by the way, I told teams that you had a great arm. I could hear the ball whizzing by. But yeah. I said, he's playing baseball. He's got a good arm. Like, we create these obstacles, or you're not tall enough, and all of these different things. But I went, don't question his arm strength. You can question his height, not his arm strength.
Well, I'm glad you were helping me out behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's the least I can do there. We did it, though. Yeah. We did it.
Look at us.
What was your welcome to the NFL moment, good or bad?
Oh, shit. I think it was week one. I don't know if you watched the game. We played the Lions. Like, that was the worst, like, half of football that I've ever been a part of. Like, it felt like a joke. And in my head, like, I'm thinking, like, damn, I know these people are watching this, like, thinking, like, damn, he should just play baseball. it was that bad. Like, it was horrible, man. And then we came out the second half, and we ended up tying the game, going to overtime. Should have won the game, but that was probably my welcome to the NFL moment.
Now, do you check social media at halftime after that first half against the Lions?
No.
Okay. Steph Curry checks his social media at halftime.
I think it's a natural, like, you know, I'm on my, like, if you get on your phone, you have a tendency to just click on the apps. But I did not check social media after that.
So baseball's still a possibility, I'm guessing, for you, isn't it?
As far as my ability goes, yeah. I don't know how the, you know, contract works and stuff like that, but yeah.
Well, what if the A's traded your rights to the Diamondbacks?
I'd be all for it. I mean, I'd be all for it either way. Like, I mean, I have, you know, I love the, you know, the A's organization was great to me, so you know, I would love to play both.
Did you ever talk to Deion Sanders about playing both?
We actually did an interview last year, but yeah, he actually advised me to go play baseball, but you know, that wasn't where my heart was. So
yeah, and that's got to be interesting that you feel like you might be more successful, or people think you might be more successful in baseball. But it came back to them doubting you and go, well, what we saw that one year at Oklahoma, is that real? And does that translate into the NFL? And like, how do you answer those people when you were too small? Can you hold up? Whatever it might be, can you see over your linemen?
Yeah. Well, a lot of those questions are like that, the see over lineman questions. I don't, like I said, no quarterback my height, Drew Brees, like Michael Vick, Russell, nobody can see over guys that are 6'5". But to the people that, you know, say, yeah, you should have gone to play baseball, I don't think they understand how difficult the game of baseball is. Like, especially to play at that level, you know, when you got to go through minor leagues and stuff like that. It's a grind. It's, you know, it's taxing on the body. You play every day. So it's not easy. You know, it's a lot on the mental. But, you know, for me, I think that I just, you know, I trust my ability. And, you know, football has always kind of been my my love.
Well, yeah, since high school, you've been very successful at it. The Heisman campaign, when you're in the car with Tebow, now are you guys in the car at the same time when you're shooting that commercial?
No, due to, you know, COVID and stuff like that, I had to be in the car by myself.
Okay. You fooled us because it was very good. Now, there's one moment where Tebow is ready to ask you something and you said, don't ask that. Is that baseball?
Was the question about baseball? No. No, it wasn't about baseball.
Well, that's what I thought, that he's ready to ask you all the questions and you're like, you can read his mind. You're like, no, don't ask that question. I thought that it was. Oh, OK. So I thought that might have been part of the script there. So I see that you have your Snickers hardware on there. Is that one of a kind or?
I believe so, man. I feel really special to be able to, you know, wear this and be the season's hungriest player of the year. So like I said, it's an honor. There's a lot of great players this year that had, you know, great weeks of football. I was surprised that I got to bring this one home, but you know, it's a good deal. I get to donate it off to first responders in Arizona, so I'm glad it's around my neck.
You couldn't wear that during the game.
No, it would weigh me down. It would slow me down.
What's your plans for the offseason?
Man, I got hurt the last, last game of the season. So getting my ankle right and then, you know, hit the ground running like I always do. Just working out, trying to get better.
Surgery?
Oh, no. No surgery. No.
Have you had surgery?
I had a sports hernia like when I was a little kid. I think I was like 7 or 8. Other than that, no.
That's something else we have in common. I had a sports hernia as well.
I was young, though. I was using the restroom. I came out of the restroom. I was like, yo, I started my thing. I was like, yo, my dad, what is this? And he started pushing on it. I was like,
wait, that's a bathroom hernia, not a sports hernia. You didn't hurt yourself doing anything athletic. You got to come up with a better story than that.
I guess you can call it that. I don't know.
Put me in the huddle when you throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. So what's that play call?
We called it cowboy pass, but it didn't end up working how we practiced it. You know, it was designed for me. I don't know if you remember the Aaron Rodgers play where they were playing the Cowboys. And
yeah.
He drops back, rolls out left, hits a tight end on the side. You know, that was the original draw of the play. Now, how it worked, D-Hop just ran to the end zone. I don't even think my guy Andy was supposed to be running across the field. I think he got caught up. D-Hop ended up being the only guy in the end zone. And, you know, the rollout left didn't really work because the dude contained it so, you know, very well. Had to, you know, avoid him and make him miss and then just try to get it to, you know, get it to where he could have a chance to catch it. So
I thought the most underrated part of that is you rolled left and were able to get that much on the football to throw it to the end zone, because that's going against your body that's not easy to do.
No, it's one of those things where you kind of just heave it down there and hope for the best.
And I don't like when they call it the catch because, you know, it's the throw is too pretty good. I mean, we always, you know, Dwight Clark catches from Joe Montana is called the catch. You know, it's DeAndre. Did you see that catch by DeAndre? Nobody said, did you see the throw by Kyler Murray?
I just think, you know, everybody, I think just because it kind of just because it's me, there's that like stigma around it. But no, I mean, like I said, I mean, DeAndre, he made a great catch. I don't think, you know, there's both sides of it. If there's not the throw, there's not the catch. And there's not, you know, it goes both ways.
Nobody talks about Eli Manning's throw in the Super Bowl to David Tyree. They just talk about David Tyree's catch. So just saying.
He couldn't catch it if he didn't throw it.
Yeah, so. There you go. I got your back here. All right. Hey, we've moved on. We're back. You and I, same page right now. Next time I see you, Super Bowl.
I'll give you a hug.
Whoa. I'm going to bring the Snickers. And, hey, congrats. I've been a big fan of yours. Even after what happened 2 years ago, you're still a great player. And I'm happy for your success there. So thanks for being a good sport. And
yes, sir.
Tell your dad I said hello.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyler. That's Kyler Murray joining us on behalf of Snickers, the hungriest player of the year for the 2020 NFL season. Yes, Paulie?
We are back.
We are. We are on the same page now. Yes.
Your pal, he's going to give you a hug next time he sees you. This is good. This is a good thing.
I would like the Snickers chain, I think. I don't need a hug. I'll take Snickers there. All right, we moved on. He has a sense of humor about it. Good. Yeah, see.
Yeah, I like it. He's pretty goofy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's got that in there. I just didn't know that he was that confused about what he was going to do, and couldn't say something that couched that just to say, look, I'm thinking of both, or you know, I haven't made up my mind, and I truly haven't. I'm 21 years of age, and you know, we're trying to figure this out. But hey, once I know, then I'll let everybody else know. Yes, Paul.
I hate to bring this up, but do the Diamondbacks broach him about playing some baseball, or does the quarterback position prevent Kyler Murray from dipping his toe into baseball? Because if he's a defensive back like Brian Jordan, you know, he's the quarterback. You've always said the quarterback can't play two sports.
Yeah, he can't. No. I think that after he gets a couple of years under his belt, then maybe you're able to go to spring training like Russell Wilson did. And if the Diamondbacks there, you could go to spring training with them, maybe work out a little bit, have a little bit of fun, give the Diamondbacks a little bit of publicity. But whenever the quarterback does something like this in the off season, then we wonder about what your commitment is, whether it's true or not. Remember when Tony Romo went to Mexico with Jessica Simpson and they were on a bye week, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, well, let's see, you know, his mind's not on football. And, you know, but that's Shaq, every offseason, Shaq would be doing an album or a movie, and then people say, you should be working on your free throws. Okay. He might have been, but I don't know how long you can work on you. You know, it's one of those, I hit golf shots, golf balls all the time. It doesn't mean I'm getting better just because I'm hitting golf shots all the time. Sometimes you have to know what you're doing when you do it. Like if Shaq continues to shoot free throws the way he shoots free throws, he's not going to get any better. He needed to change his routine, his form. All right. Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. And Todd, great job with delivering the message to Kyler and sort of being the Henry Kissinger, the liaison.
I'm very happy. I'm thrilled that you guys are buds again.
We are back. We are back. All right, back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Kyler Murray, who just joined us, my new best friend, he became the second player all time with 25 or more touchdown passes, 10 or more rushing touchdowns in a season, joining Cam Newton, who did that 2015 during his MVP season. Murray had 9 games with a touchdown pass and a rushing touchdown. That's the most such games by any player in one season all time. All righty. We have this day in sports history and a couple of phone calls. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff, how are you today?
What up, though? One time for Chat Row. Look at you and Kyler Awesome Potico on the show. And so that was pretty cool, man. Listen, with this nor'easter burning coming down on us, man, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'd be safe and warm if I was in L.A. California dreaming on such a winter's day. Listen, L.A. hooked us up, man, seriously. Once, you know, you think you out and they pull you right back in. Both teams got exactly what they needed. You know, and I promise you, I got Seahawk gear and all kind of stuff. But I'm thinking, well, maybe they might be able to do it this time. And you talk yourself right back into it. So with that being said, we'll talk a little bit more about the trade later on. With that being said, I have a proposal for you gentlemen.
Okay.
I say that the Lions will be second in the NFC North, right behind Green Bay, and will make it to the playoffs in Dan's first year. I have faith. And I'm stepping out like this because I'm high off of coffee right now. I'm going real strong. And Dan, the punishment will be a shower of shame, chili dog style, onions and everything, baby. Let's do it.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to let you ride this emotional high there, Jeff.
Yeah, hey, listen, I know I'm going to be calling you bitching about it probably about 3 games in. Like, why did I do it, man? No, please. Oh, also, listen, you know I'm a snackologist. You guys were talking about melting cheese and how to do it as a shower of shame. What you have to do is break down the consistency, whip up a couple of eggs and a little bit of milk. It'll actually cool the cheese down and makes it pourable.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Interesting that he knows that. Yes,
I feel like I'd rather have Jeff send us some chili dogs rather than shower of shame those chili dogs. That sounds good right now.
Rob in Key West, Florida.
See, just kind of lost it there for a second.
Dang, chili dog I heard haze. Chili dogs, and I was like, man, that sounds so good. Snow day
it
chili
does.
Dogs.
It does. Snow beers and chili dogs.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys.
Hey, bud.
How you guys doing today?
It's spectacular.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff is my favorite caller. It's wonderful to hear him talk. But if he's got to stay on hold as long as I do, props to Jeff. Because that's awesome if he does that 3 times a week.
Yeah. I get caught up in different things or we have guests on or whatever. And then I always forget. And then, you know, I remind myself that I have to get to callers. So thank you for holding, Rob.
Well, I have a best and worst for you
okay.
this weekend.
All right.
Would you like the best or the worst first, Dan?
Best.
The best? It got up to 77 yesterday.
Okay.
The worst? All the way down to 64 on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Rob. I'm going to leave you on hold longer next time. Yeah, Paulie.
I have lots of buddies in Arizona, and whenever we have snowstorms,
they pull that nonsense.
They go, it's a 71 again here today. What? And I wait till like July 13th, July 18th. I'm like, hey, it hit 124 in Phoenix today.
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah. You don't need a Traeger grill. You just put it on the sidewalk and cook whatever you want to cook there. Mo in Arizona joining us. Hey, Mo.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Cheer up,
wait,
Mo.
Way to redeem yourself on that Kyler Murray interview.
had to redeem himself, not me.
I know. I'm just joking. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Before I get my best and worst, Niners would be fine regardless of who we have at quarterback because we can win with any system quarterback, right, McLovin? Thank you. So, having said that, my best and worst. My worst was there was nothing on yesterday. And so I broke down and ordered the WWE pay-per-view, and it was horrible. At worst I've ever seen. The best was Lakers squeaking out a win, even though we really should have lost that game with all those turnovers we had. But that's all I got. You guys have a good one.
All right. Thank you, Mo. All right. This day in sports history, Paulie?
Yeah, Jim Thorpe in 1913, little connection here, football player, signed a baseball contract to play with the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
In 1992, Barry Bonds signed the highest single season contract in MLB history. He was making $4.7 million a year in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Stockton in 1995 became the NBA's career assist leader, passing Magic Johnson.
Barry Sanders is going to be on the program tomorrow. Kansas City Chiefs fan Melissa Etheridge is going to join us.
Who may be working on a song for us. Trying to get confirmation on that, a new Chiefs song.
Well, we need a new Chiefs song.
We do. And I think she's in the lab trying to put that together.
Okay. She gave us a Kansas City Chiefs song last year for the Super Bowl. I'm going to assume that she's putting pen to paper and have her guitar ready, and it'd be great to talk to her again. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
I can't say who won the trade. Who came out better as far as what you know now? The Lions steadily at 60%. Our audience likes the Lions.
I think both got what they wanted to get out of this. Now, you can say, did the Lions get more than they should have? Yeah, maybe. But the Rams wanted Matthew Stafford. Yeah, McLovin.
I thought it was going to be 80-20. The Rams won. I feel like that's how the national perception is. That
I don't think NFL fans know about Matthew Stafford. We've seen highlights and we see his statistics. I don't know if you truly know how he quarterbacks a game, and there's no playoff games, no playoff resume. You haven't seen him in a big moment. His big moment's Thanksgiving or trying to play spoiler at the end of a season. Todd, what'd you learn on today's award-nominated program?
When talking about Rocket Mortgage Squares, you made sure to mention that you work with a bunch of squares.
Yes, I do. McLovin?
You and Kyler Murray have a big hug coming your way next time you see him.
Yeah. Seton O'Connor?
Albert Breer joined a very exclusive club today. Sort of like the SNL Five-Timers Club. He was the 2 days in a row lead guest guy.
Wow. Friday and Monday.
That doesn't happen very many times in DP show history.
Yeah, we let him take a victory lap. He said that Matthew Stafford would be traded before the Super Bowl. Paulie?
Millionaire quarterback from the NFL, Tua Tagovailoa, is back home living with his parents.
What We Learned brought to you by Built Bar, simply the best-tasting protein bar around. 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip. Speaking of which, we need a new shipment, Seton, if you get a chance. Taste it. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code DP, 20% off. Once again, Barry Sanders will join us on the program, and the great musician Melissa Etheridge. Hope you'll join us as well Tuesday here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item as we close out this Monday. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards that's shaped like cash. You know there's cash inside before opening it, but in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cash back match, so you don't even have to send a thank you note. It's called Cash Back Match, only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Discover, something brighter.